Matthew chapter 24, Olivet Discourse, dealing with the coming of Christ and the setting up of the kingdom of heaven for that, of course, tribulation. Now, as you're turning there, Matthew 24, we have what Paul says there in the book of Titus, and so he talks here about 2:13 for the Christian. It says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So that's the blessed hope. That's the coming of Christ, and so Christ is coming back. This is what this section is dealing with, really, the coming of the Lord. But think of that, it's the blessed hope. It could occur at any time, and when it occurs, it'll be for all believers. And so that's our hope. So we can have plans and think about the future, and this is what I want to do, and go out here and do this and that and everything else. But all these are within the will of God. And when the Lord comes back, all those plans we want to have are going to be overturned because of the Lord's coming. So he could come at any time. So that's our hope. And, you know, I've used this when I've talked to individuals, believers. For instance, our friend Bob Zemeski, before he went on, said, you know, there's the blessed hope. You may not experience death. You may go on before death. And so we have the blessed hope, the coming of Christ. He could come back this week. All right, so as we're looking here at eschatology, this is Matthew chapter 24. This is all based on the great clear passage in Daniel that has to do with the timing element that's involved here. And so remember, the rapture at this time was a mystery. Now, the Lord knew about the rapture, but the apostles, as far as we know, didn't know about the rapture. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says that this is a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we'll all be changed. So he's talking about that. That was a mystery. And so we cannot theologically read the rapture in Matthew chapter 24, contrary to what some people want to do. But what he is saying here is based on Daniel. Now, if you look there in Matthew 24, first of all, Matthew 24, verse 15. So this is what the Lord says here. Matthew 24, 15 says, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place." See that? So if we Gentiles were in the audience, didn't have any Old Testament, we'd say, what's this all about? But the Jews, they read through Daniel all the time, as they do that, all the scriptures. So we know exactly what you're talking about, Lord. You're talking about the abomination of desolation, that's the Antichrist. And you're talking about when he stands in the holy place at the midpoint of the tribulation. So we understand that. And that's what Daniel spoke about. See, so the Lord is reaching back to Daniel's eschatology, and now he's giving more detail to it. So we can't look at this passage without looking there in the book of Daniel, chapter 9. The book of Daniel, chapter 9. Now, Daniel had been in the Babylonian captivity for almost 70 years. And so Daniel here in 9:2, this begins the chapter there, he says, "In the first year of the reign of, in his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years where of the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem." So here he's in the first year of Darius, or Cyrus, two names, the same person, of the Medo-Persians. So the Medo-Persians came, and they destroyed Babylon. Now, Daniel is transferred to a new kingdom here. And so when he is in straits, he looks to the Word of God, and he finds an answer. And with the 70 years that's prophesied there, so the we're talking about the 70 years from 586 to 516. That's 70 years when the temple was destroyed, all the way down to when the temple was rebuilt. 70 years. So he's in this period of time, and he's asking the Lord now. He's praying to the Lord, and the Lord gives him revelatory truth. In his prayer, verse 5, he says, "We have sinned." Well, Daniel knew that he was a sinner, but he hadn't sinned like the Jews in Jerusalem, but nevertheless, he was part of mankind. He says that again in verse 15, "We have sinned." So in his prayer, he acknowledges his humility here at this point and his role. But anyway, as he is praying, an angel named Gabriel in verse 21 comes and gives him revelatory truth. So the angel here says in verse 23 to Daniel, "I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision." So here Daniel's been in captivity for all these years, and he's wondering, where's the Lord? No, I'm not really wondering that, but the Lord says, you know, in your isolation and in your difficult time, you're greatly beloved. That came from the Lord. Came from the Lord. And so we may not feel that we're greatly beloved, but we are by the Lord, even in our difficult times. Now, he begins to explain in verse 24 through 27, the 70 years, and he breaks this down into various units and so on. And so it comes out to be that we've got last 7 years of the 69 sevens. So he's got 70 weeks. So that's 70 sevens of something. It turns out to be years. So it's 490 years. And of the 490 years, 483 years take us up to the time of the cross. And then that leaves 7 years left. In the midst of these 7 years, he says, before the 7 years, he says in verse 26 that the but after 62 weeks, all right. So that's so we've got an additional seven prior to that, and then another 62. So after the 62 weeks, including the earlier seven, shall Messiah be cut off, and not for himself, but the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and in the end thereof shall be a flood, and in the end the war of the desolations. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of the abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So notice the terms here. Abomination, desolation, in the midst of the week, the 7 weeks. And so here is what the Lord's building off of. And so, you know, I've used the chart before, but it's easy to see, I think, on a chart of something like this. So we have our timeline of human history. We've got the Old Testament era. We have the New Testament era. We have the tribulation. We have the millennium. All right. So this is the way the Bible describes human history. We've got the cross right here, and we've got the temple to be destroyed. Here is the temple. And so the Lord is saying here, from a certain point, that's when Nehemiah builds the walls, all the way down here to right to the cross will be the 483 years. There's 7 years left. These 7 years are over here. Between the 483 years and the 7 years, we've got two events that must occur. There's the cross and the destruction of the temple. The cross happened about AD 30, temple destroyed AD 70. So we have about a generation right there. And so we find ourselves, from a human point of view, we are in this period right here. We are in this period right here. Now, the Lord doesn't mention it, but Paul does, because before the tribulation starts, there's going to be the rapture, the catching away. All right, but this was a mystery. But what the Lord is saying here, without mentioning the rapture, he's saying that tribulation millennium are coming down the pike. But these two events have to occur first. And so these are coming down, going to be on mankind. So this period of time here, we do know these events have already occurred. We find out from the New Testament two other events must occur, and that is John writes the book of Revelation, or the canon is completed, and that Peter would die. And so we've got four events that must occur before the tribulation. And that is Christ is crucified, temple's destroyed, Peter dies, and John writes the book of Revelation, last book of Revelation, last book of the canon. These events have all occurred. These have all occurred in the first century. So the Lord could have come back in the first century, but he didn't. So this period of time now is expanding here. So it expands past the first century, second, third, fourth. Now we're down here to the 21st century. It's still expanding. These events have already occurred. At some point, tribulation is going to come. Millennium is going to follow that. But before the tribulation, Paul tells us later, and when he receives revelatory truth, about the catching away, the rapture. So that's the picture that we have here. Everything that the Lord has prophesied, the cross, the temple, Peter's death, canon finished, tribulation, millennium, every one of these items either have been or will be fulfilled. And so we're down here somewhere. And so we don't know when the rapture is going to occur. But we'll be caught out. The unsaved will be left to go into the world and the tribulation and so on. So here is a picture of biblical prophecy as the Lord has given it. Now, in all of this, the Antichrist, as we talk about him for a minute, so he's called Antichrist. He's going to come in the place of Christ and against Christ. So he's going to be a world leader. He's going to be a dictator. He's going to be charismatic. He's going to control the world. He's going to have power from the devil to do this. And so immediately he's going to have the temple built, the third temple. He wants the temple built. So here we have third temple. He wants that built right away because he has vested interest in having the Jewish temple built. He's not interested in any other religion. He's interested in the Jewish temple because he's against whatever the Lord's for. The Lord's for the Jewish people, and so he's against the Jewish people. The Lord's for the world, he's against the world. So he's going to have the temple rebuilt right away. It doesn't have to be elaborate. It can be something very simple. And, of course, the Jews have been trying to get this third temple built since the first or second century, actually, but they haven't been able to in the Lord's timing. So because he wants to enter into the temple at the midpoint of the tribulation as Daniel and the Lord talks about. And so the Lord says in Matthew 24:15, when you see the abomination of desolation in the holy place, you will know where you are in the tribulation. Because I think it's going to be somewhat vague here at the beginning when Christians are caught out. There's going to be great confusion and deception. People will say, well, good riddance to them, but we don't know what's going on here. And then the Antichrist, it looks like, according to Daniel chapter 7, is going to try to change the times. And so he might want to go with a six-day week. I mean, his favorite number is six. If he goes with a six-day week, remember the French tried to have a 10-day week. Think of that. 10-day week. So I guess you'd... Fifth day in is hump fifth day, right, or whatever it is. And thank goodness for the tenth day or whatever. I mean, but that didn't work. I mean, the weeks are based on God's calendar and so on. But he may try to have a six-day week. I'm just suggesting he's going to try to change the times according to Scripture. So if you have a six-day week, that's going to change everything, the whole calendar. So where are we now? You know, where are we? What day of the week is it? Where are we? I mean, it's all going to be Blur's Day, right? Anyway, so that's where the Lord is in Matthew chapter 24. So we can go back there, and he begins to expand on this. So these key passages, so Daniel chapter 9, Matthew chapter 24, and Revelation chapter 6 and following. Key passages on eschatology. So in our mind, we have, ought to have brain, burned into our brain or our biblical thinking somewhat of this timeline. It's a biblical timeline based on Scripture. So we ought to have that. Every person in the room ought to be able to come up and write out the timeline in general. So we've got Old Testament, New Testament era, tribulation, millennium, basically. And but every in the Old Testament, everything was looking towards the cross. Even in the book of Job, remember? In the book of Job, looking towards the cross. We, from the time of the cross, now are looking back. And here people will look back as well to the cross. So the cross was the one event for the salvation of mankind, greatest event in world kind for the salvation of men. So Lord is speaking from this point of view. So, and once again in verse 4, he says, take heed that no man deceive you. That's going to be because this is going to be a time of great demonic deception. Just like there was a great deal of demonic deception in the first coming of Christ. I mean, remember there were demon-possessed people in the synagogue. Demon-possessed people everywhere. This is when Christ came, the demons really seemed to have a strong outbreak. And likewise, during the tribulation time, it's going to be great demonic deception. People are going to be deceived. And so he says, take heed. Many are going to say, I am Christ, or the Messiah, verse 5, and shall deceive many. All right, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So why is the Lord saying, don't be troubled when you see world wars going on? Well, he's in control of the believer's life. And so in the worst of times, we can look to the Lord. Remember in Psalm 46, he's a refuge. Remember that? He's our refuge, and so in these times of trouble, by the way, Psalms still apply to the saints in the tribulation. Anyway, and so he mentions, nation shall rise against the nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places, and all of these are the beginning of sorrows. I mean, this is the beginning, just the very beginning. Revelation chapter 6, I'm reviewing a few things, but Revelation 6, recall, we've got the four horsemen. That's going to occur very early in the tribulation time. So we have the seal judgments, trumpet judgments, and vial judgments. So these are staggered, 777. They're staggered in the book of Revelation, but they are in a chronological order as well. And so there in chapter 6, where you find the four horsemen, every two verses, all the way through verse 10. Let's see, where are we? in the wrong chapter. All right, chapter 6. Yeah, so all the way through verse 8. We have the four horsemen there. The first horseman is going to be a white horse, horseman on a white horse bringing peace. 3 and 4, the peace is going to be taken away by the red horse. And then we see the black horse bringing famine. And then the last one, the green horse, pale green, is going to be bringing death. And a fourth part of the world will be killed at this point. And so in this presentation, which I think is going to occur very early. So here's the midpoint of tribulation. This is going to occur very early. The four horsemen are going to be very early, probably within the first year or so of the tribulation. And you think of that, a quarter of the world's population gone. And that's just the beginning of everything. and a little past the midpoint of the tribulation, a third of the remaining two-thirds are going to be gone. So that means a little past the midpoint of tribulation, half the world's population is going to be destroyed. Think of that. And so this is where what's coming down the pike for the world and those people that get saved during the tribulation. If you look over there in Revelation chapter 20, where we have in verse 4, as John and his one of his 12 visions, says, I saw thrones, in verse 4, and they that sat on them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So these were the saints killed during the tribulation time, and the favorite form of death is going to be beheading. All right, so Lord's talking about this. And this is going to come on the world at any point, That's why we need to make sure we are saved, right with the Lord, trying to live for him and so on, because when this occurs, it'll happen suddenly. Saints will be taken out. And then during Satan's reign, his whole reign is going to collapse. Think of that. And so Satan's going to come and, as I mentioned, be a world leader. So he's going to end up in Daniel chapter 11 fighting against, during the tribulation, the king of the north, the kings of the east, king of the south, and he's going to have the west. He's going to have the west, so I've mentioned this several times, but he's going to have the west that's going to include North America along with Western Europe. And so he's going to have the West, and he's going to fight against King of the North, which right now will probably be Russia, Kings of the East, China, Kings of the South, Saudi. He's going to fight against them, and that's Daniel chapter 11. But his agenda, you know, I mentioned this as well, so we're looking at Bible prophecy, trying to have a understanding of the times. And so in order to weaken the North America, there has to be a weakening of a moral weakening, a financial weakening, a political weakening, a compromise with other countries, the whole destruction of everything in society. Because that's all Satan knows. All he knows is destruction. Destruction of right and judicial systems and all these things. Everything is under attack. So as we look around, these are not signs of the time any more than they were in any other generation, but certainly men are waxing worse and worse, and it looks like things can't get any worse. But keep in mind, the city of Sodom was filled with Sodomites. Not just the anvil, filled with Sodomites. And then the Lord came to destroy. Yes?
I think what you said about the Antichrist is going to be a Donald Trump type of character. Big talker, big strong man, eloquent, all kinds of people.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't mention Donald Trump, but yeah, he'll be somebody bold and, and, you know, a forceful in his presentation, yeah. Yeah, right, anyway. Verses 9 and 10, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now he's speaking to the Jews. So it's going to be a time of great anti-Semitism. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So iniquity abounding, the love of many. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And so here the idea of being faithful to the Lord, obviously that's in the context here. It's not just whoever is the macho man that survives and jumps around is going to be saved, nothing like that, but obviously the believer. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So the gospel is going to go out. It's going to go out, and many will respond. So we see in Revelation, so let's look there in Revelation chapter 7. So in Revelation chapter 6, we go through the six seal judgments. We're waiting for the seventh one. But in the book of Revelation, there's a progressive timeline here, but occasionally there are interludes where, as the Lord gives revelation to John, he has to stop and back up and say, okay, now we have to go back to this point. And so that's what he does here in Revelation 7. So Revelation 6, he's given the flow of the first six judgments on earth. Now he says, okay, now I want to go back to the very beginning of tribulation and explain something else. And so in verse 7:1, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. All right, so he sees another vision. But the vision is going to take him back. And so in this verse 2, and I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and cried into with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. All right, so if you look here, back in chapter 6, the wars, what are wars going to do? They're going to destroy the whole landside. And famine, what's that going to do? Destroy everything. All right, he says, before these things are destroyed, I want you to know that I've sealed 144,000 Jews at the very beginning of the tribulation. You see, that's why he's going back. It's not that chapter 7 follows chronologically chapter 6, although 7 is in the flow of the book. Chapter 7 takes us back to the very beginning as an interlude. So you've had the expression, somebody's telling you a long story, and then you say, oh, and in the meantime, back at the ranch, you know, that expression, I'm taking you back because here's another event that I have to fit into this chronology. Follow that? And so he seals 144,000 Jews of every tribe. So these Jews knew their tribes. So I believe the Bible at this point. To me, he's going to seal these 144,000 Jews who are going to preach the gospel and salvation. So, you know, I can't explain it any beyond that. You mean there's 144,000 Jews he's going to seal and they're going to preach the gospel? That's what the Bible says. So, if you've got a question, you know, dig in deeper with the Bible. But they're going to present salvation message, which would be the gospel of Christ, and so on. And many will be saved. So the gospel is going to be put forth. So during the first part of the tribulation, there are going to be multitudes slaughtered, but there'll be multitudes saved. And basically, it's going to be you either go with the Antichrist program here or die. And so that's when, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain, that's when that really makes sense, when your life's on the line for the Lord. And we would like to say and think in our heart, oh, yeah, I'd be bold, you know. I wouldn't waver. I'd be faithful. until there's a sword put to your neck, and it becomes real. So, but, you know, even in the smaller issues of life now, well, if a sword is put to my neck, I'll be faithful to the Lord right now, but, you know, right now, you know, the little things in life, I can't be faithful to the Lord. Well, if you're not going to be faithful in the little things, how are you going to be faithful in a life-threatening issue like that? All right, so anyway, some might say, well, that's the tribulation people, let them worry about that. You know, I'm a Christian, that's all that matters. No, it's not all matters. You need to live for the Lord. So he brings out the multitudes that are going to be saved during this time. The preaching of the gospel, that's verse 14, 24, verse 14. Preached in all the world for a witness. And then the 15, I just read that. So when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, so that's going to be set 3.5 years in. He's going to come in to the holy place. And this is what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you look there, 2 Thessalonians. Where here he talks about the son of the man of sin being revealed. This is 2:3. Who opposeth, exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So this is coincides with the passage in Revelation and what the Lord said there in Matthew. So he's... So Paul is talking about after the rapture, then we're going to have these events. So the Antichrist has and Satan has a vested interest in the Jews building the third temple. All right, so we come back here. And so remember, the Lord's looking over the Mount of Olives. He's looking over at the city of Jerusalem. So we have done that before, and I mentioned before we saw the golden dome there, and that's the classic picture of Jerusalem, and we were able to be up on Mount Olivet and look down and see that, and although he didn't see the golden dome, but he saw the city and so on. And so he begins to talk now in verse 16, says, then, so you see all these temporal adverbs, then. This means chronology. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. See, so the whole focus of the tribulation is going to be on Jerusalem, because that's where the temple is. And this is what Satan wants to have the victory in Jerusalem, in Judea, in the temple. And so here the Lord's addressing them. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. So there's going to be a reinstitution of all these things. During the tribulation, it's going to be Jewish. Not Gentilic Christianity, going to be Jewish. And so I suppose they won't take those Sabbat elevators. Remember the Sabbat elevators? Don't get on one of those if you want to be on an elevator a long time, because it goes to every floor. And Jews don't have to touch any buttons and make any electricity. So anyway, the fleeing here. So this corresponds with Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Where there's war in heaven. The dragon against and his angels against Michael and his angels. That's Revelation 7, or 12 rather, verse 7. And the devil is going to be cast out of having access to the throne of God like he did in Job. Going to be cast out to the earth. And then verse 12 says, "Therefore rejoice ye in ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth for and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." Next verse, "He persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child," which would be the Jews, Jewish people. And, of course, Mary, but she's part of the Jewish people. So he's going to persecute the Jews there. And he's going to go after them for a time, that's verse 14, times and a half a time. That's three and a half years. Last 3.5 years, tribulation is going to go after the Jews. They're going to be hiding. The Lord is going to protect them during these 3.5 years of tribulation there. Those that refuse the Antichrist and his idol or his image in the temple. And if they do, they need to run right away. Not go in their house, not grab anything, take off running and hide from the Antichrist. Yes, sir. Well, where's Mary right now? Yeah, well, I was going to do that. I mean, she represents the Jewish people. Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah. All right, so the time of great tribulation, and Jews need to flee and so on. And so verse 21 says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world at this time, no, nor ever shall be." So here another then, so that's the last 3.5 years, it's going to be tremendous anti-Semitism against the Jewish people. And then the Lord says, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So I think the idea is shortened down to 7 years. I mean, much longer than that, everybody would be destroyed. Remember, Satan is a great destroyer, and so he's after destroying everybody. He wants to destroy saints, but he will destroy anybody that rejects the Lord. He's not a friend to God rejectors. He's not a friend to atheists. He's going to destroy atheists just as well as Christians. He hates mankind. And so he's the great destroyer. And but you see, as he's destroying the world purposefully, but God is using him to destroy Satan's reign of 7 years. But that's all Satan can do. All he can do is destroy. All he can do is lie, deceive, and destroy. And so anything he is over is going to be destroyed. In fact, you think, who will be the spiritual motivation for the three kingdoms to come after the Antichrist? Who will be the spiritual motivation? It'll be the demons behind the king of Russia and the king of China, the kings of China and the king of the south, the demons behind them are going to prompt them to go after Satan, or the Antichrist, Satan's man. And so even Satan can't have control over his own demons. So it's kind of like there's no honor among thieves. Thieves will steal from thieves, right? Heard that expression? But in the meantime, world population and believers will be in the mix of all this. So this is what the Lord is saying. So we have, he builds this off of Daniel. He expands on this, and then he gives John, the Apostle John, more detail in the time of, or in the book of Revelation, to give more expansion on this. And so tribulation, obviously, could occur at any point. So the world may be 7 years away from the millennium. Think of that. The world might be 7 years away from the millennium. If Christ comes back today, the tribulation, millennium. The Antichrist showing up in the midpoint of the third temple might be 3.5 years off. Think of that. Might just be 3.5 years off. This that he's prophesied here hasn't occurred yet. We're looking for the coming of Christ. And the Lord's expanding this period of time. But at some point, he'll expand it enough. And then he'll bring everything. Once he does, everything's going to come to pass very shortly. And so when the Lord comes back and he calls saints up, he'll do it instantaneously. So for the either the backslidden Christian or the carnal Christian or the unsaved, say, wait a minute, I sense the rapture's happening. I better kneel down and ask the Lord to save me so I can be caught up in the rapture. You won't have time to do that. So that means to be ready before the rapture. So had a pastor say just the other night, my rapture suit is all pressed and ironed and ready for the Lord to come back. Uh-huh. You got your rapture suit on, your rapture outfit on, you ready? Y'all ready for the Lord to come back? So anyway, this is an interesting way to express it. All right, so we're out of time. Our Father, we pray you bless us now. We thank you for the time to open the Word of God and help us to understand the reality of this and your plans and human history, and help us to be submissive to your plans. And all that we do, we ask, we pray, bless us now, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.